Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Know-How is brought to you by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. Plus, more than 50 new features, including mobile responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code KnowHow11.
Today, we're putting Mac OS X on a PC.
Today, we're going to show you how to make a Hackintosh. This is probably the most requested project we've ever had on Know How. Hello, Leo. I mean, Leon LeSpork here.
Leon LeSpork. Frobish Madagascar here.
And this is going to be, is it quasi-legal?
No, well, making a Hackintosh violates EULAs and is pretty much illegal. So clearly, you might wonder, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen, right? If you think the Apple cops are just going to show?
I'm with the iCops. Come with me, sir.
So no. That won't happen.
That's very unlikely to happen unless you're PsyStar or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're making these...
That was a company making Hackintoshes.
Apple makes all their money on the hardware. If you're going to make a bunch of Hackintoshes and then sell them to people, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. It's technically illegal to actually put this operating system on a non-Apple PC or Apple device. So
it's non-trivial as well, because Apple puts in some protections to keep you from doing that.
It's definitely non-trivial. It does take a lot of time. If you guys are wondering, like, hey, you know, why don't I just check it online and try to figure out how to do this? This project today is basically the culmination of about 4 to 6 hours of work.
Wow.
So it's going to be compressed and explained, and you don't have to do any of the crazy searches, because everything we're going to talk about... So, twit.tv/KH.
We should warn you that it's a violation of the terms of service, or the EULA, I guess they would call it. And you're a lawyer, you know that. It's also probably somewhat unethical, since Apple does subsidize OS X. It's only $30 with hardware sales. And it's also non-trivial. It's a difficult thing to do. But knowing all of that, it's also a fun thing to do. And it's kind of a great kind of hack. So let's try it.
And the OS actually now is $20. It's getting
it's 20, that's
cheaper.
Right. It's
it used
cheap.
To be 30
yeah.
bucks.
Yeah,
Mountain Lion is 20. And
I'm going to roll up my sleeves, Mr. Frobish. I mean, Mr. Madagascar.
Like Mr. LeSpork was saying, this is non-trivial, okay? Now, there's going to be a lot of little steps. So if it looks like I'm reading off an iPad or a website, it's because you're supposed to follow every single little step. Because if you make a mistake, things might not work right away.
Now, we only have half an hour. Will you actually be able to do this in half an hour?
I can show it in half an hour.
It's kind of a cooking show.
Definitely
thing.
A cooking show kind of thing.
All right. And we are going to use Chad's monster machine that you built a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, behind this monitor, which we placed carefully, which now is no longer placed carefully. This PC here...
You didn't need that mouse.
This PC here has a lot of components we picked out ahead of time. And for our guide, we use TonyMacX86.com.
That's so you have to choose the hardware that's appropriate for a Hackintosh?
Absolutely.
Oh,
because
wow.
OS X, unlike Microsoft Windows or Linux, doesn't have a ton of driver support when it comes to what it supports.
Right.
So you better pick compatible parts, and TonyMacX86 has great lists, and you can actually see we have Chad's picked parts already. If you go to twit.tv/KH, you'll find Build a PC, and you'll find out exactly what he used to build this PC
now,
that runs OS X.
There's another question. Obviously, this PC has non-Apple stuff in it. So are other people writing drivers for PC hardware to make it work with OS X?
Yes. Right now, there's a lot of drivers
so
you can get.
There's a community doing this.
It's gotten so much easier, by the way.
Yeah.
My last Hackintosh I made was 5 years ago. And back then, you had to go and get a patch version of OS X. And this was very, very... Very illegal, not gray area. This is not gray. This is illegal.
Right.
You would go do this.
It's basically
stuff.
Pirated.
Right. Because you couldn't buy the software.
Right.
You couldn't make it work, so you had to patch it. Nowadays,
you're going to use an off-the-shelf OS X to do this?
Nowadays, you can use a retail copy of OS X from the Mac App Store, no less.
Wow. So at least you're buying it.
Yeah, at least Apple's getting something for it. So if you want to have that, like, I'm giving you guys something, you can.
I also have to say that I've done it a couple of times, and I almost always revert back. It's a fun thing to do. I don't know if you would want to do it day-to-day. You can't really update. There's always the risk that an update's going to screw something up. It's for fun.
Well, I mean, at this particular...
Would you use this instead of buying a Mac?
This particular method should actually allow you to install updates without issue, although there's no Apple support theoretically, so it could break at any time, and they don't have to support you at all.
I should point out that it may work with most updates, but there's always the risk that Apple will at some point flip a switch that will make it not work. So and then how would they do that? In an update.
In an update, because they'll check some parts and it won't be there.
Exactly.
So first thing you got to do is you got to download Mountain Lion. And you could see, you know, we're going
to
head...
So you need a Mac to do this.
You're going to need a Mac to do this.
All right, let's start. I'll write this all down as we go here.
So as you can see, it's only going to take us a total of, you know, like 48 minutes, right? It's only a 4 gigabyte file.
How many steps am I going to need? A lot of room on the chalkboard?
I think step one, download Mountain Lion will be good. For timing, we've decided to download this ahead of time because it takes a really, really long time to download that, depending on your speed.
Okay, Frobisher, that's step one. Get a copy of Mountain Lion. Either download it yourself or get a friend to download it. But wait a minute. It's on the hard drive. How do I get it off the hard drive?
Once you have it on a hard drive, now you're going to start using some tools. You're going to have to prep a USB key. Now, you're going to need a USB key that's 8 gigabytes or larger.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to prep this. Now, again, all the steps are up. We'll have the links. They're all up at TonyMacX86.com. We'll have links at twit.tv/KH. So we're going to prep this key.
This stuff, by the way, a lot of Mac people do to make a bootable OS X install disk. So you'll find this all over the internet on how to do this. It's pretty straightforward.
So the first thing we're going to do, we're going to put the USB key in. We're going to run disk utility. And if you see my screen, you're going to have the instructions on the left, and you'll have your things on the right. Very simple. You're going to set a partition. We're going to name it. Let's name it.
You're using Apple's own disk utility to do this. It's a little harder to do this if you don't have a Macintosh.
There is a method to do this without a Macintosh if you so desire. But I happen to have one and access to one.
Yeah.
And right now I'm setting up
Or get a friend with a Mac to help you out.
Yeah, you're going to do the master boot record. Again, there's lots and lots of little steps when you're doing this. So I'm gonna use this key right now. Obviously, I've recorded this because it takes about 5 to 10 minutes to set up your USB key. So we're going to set up the USB key,
And I presume you're using the MS-DOS FAT file system. Yes, I see that.
No, we're going to switch that to Mac OS Extended Journaled. Do not use the case-sensitive version.
Okay.
Again, there are lots of little steps. Please,
follow those
pay attention to each and every one of them. We're going to apply this, and we're going to partition this little hard drive. And so that's going to take a little bit. So that's the next thing you got to do is get the operating system on this. How are we going to do that, Leo?
Well, the operating system is actually within that file that you downloaded that says install OS X Mountain Lion. So you right-click on it or you command-click on it. You open the package and you go deep inside it and you'll find an install ESD file. That's actually the largest file in there. It's a 4 gigabyte file. It's the installer.
And that's difficult. There's a tool built by TonyX86.
You have a way to do that?
It's called UniBeast. It's really easy. Surprisingly easy.
So UniBeast.
Now,
all right. So prep the key with HTNF USB key.
It'll be on the show notes. I promise. You'll prep the key. It's going to have, I believe, it's Mac. It's not HFS Plus. It's what is it? Now you're catching me on this one.
I'm so sorry.
Mac OS Extended Journaled. Excuse me.
Journaled and not case sensitive.
Right, not case sensitive. You're going to apply the partition.
And then use Tony's trick here, Tony's tool.
TonyMacX86.com.
And his tool moved that file onto the key.
As you can see, thankfully you don't have to do this, by the way. Go to twit.tv/KH. We'll have everything there for you. We'll have this nice and ready to go. We won't have any free mustaches, unfortunately.
What are you talking about?
Excuse me, we can't help
you. I grew this myself for Movember.
Well, it's one day in. It's excellent.
I'm a very hairy family.
I've got to go back to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, UniBeast makes everything super easy. You got to go to TonyMacX86. You have to register. Now, registration is free, and the software is free. So it does basically all the work for you. And it's free. So we're going to go and install
this. Write this down. TonyMacX86.com.
That is like a great guide. I mean, it used to be a lot of different places like osx86.org or something like that. I used to use these sites. But this
but
one
this
is,
has everything you need for doing a Hackintosh. Is it all on there?
Pretty much everything you need. It's got the best guides. It's got the best tools, and they're free. So we're just going to go in and install UniBeast Mac app. Right. So we're going to keep going doing this. Hit agree, and you can see you're going to put it on the USB key. And then
and you need continue. You need to create a master boot record USB key. There's a few things that Windows does differently to boot. Apple uses EFI. Windows uses BIOS. Mm-hmm. Apple doesn't have a master boot record. Windows does. So all of this you have to do right. That's why Tony is so important.
Right. This is really helpful. And on top of that, by the way, if you have a laptop, you have to click this little box that says laptop support. Let's see. Can you get that larger? This is right there. It says laptop support. I'm not going to be doing this on a laptop, so I need to click this. If you have an older version of an older motherboard, they need legacy USB support. So you're going to have to check for your particular hardware because this is for Chad's machine, and so what we're doing is we're going to continue going this way.
There are other ways to do this.
Yes.
Tony Mac is just one.
Tony Mac is
like.
One of the easiest ways right. I've found to do this. It's one of the most complete ways to find everything because otherwise you're hunting all over the web as opposed to finding all these tools in one location.
Right.
So we're going to keep installing this on the USB key. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to type in your password because you're making some changes, but what you're going to see is when you're putting this together, when you're installing and configuring and writing the files, you'll see an amount of time is going to appear right around here, about a minute, right? It claims about a minute. Okay, that number is going to swell. It's going to go to like it's going to go to 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 2 hours.
So we
six
probably
days.
Won't do that in real time.
Oh no! It there's some kind of bug in the actual software.
Oh, okay.
It only takes about 30 minutes.
Oh, that's
so
a relief.
So like if you see it saying 20 hours, take a break. Take a walk, come back, it'll be ready in about 30 minutes. Because it's for some reason that the progress bar is messed up. That's the biggest weird thing about installing this. And after about 30 minutes, let's see if I can get this thing going. About 30 minutes, it'll be ready.
Oh, so this is, oh, you're clever. This is a video of you doing this.
I did this yesterday. So,
so watch it jump, because this is, boom.
Done. It's already done. So now we have a key.
All right. That's a bootable USB key with OS X Mountain Lion on it.
Right.
All right.
Before we start installing this, we should thank our buddies at Squarespace.
All right. You want to do anything while I talk about it?
I'm going to try to
did
mess with this.
Did you see what they did at Pier 1? Were you watching this?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. The Bucket Brigade sites don't ever go down at Squarespace.
Yeah. So Anthony Castellano, who runs Squarespace, he was the founder. He wrote the software for Squarespace when he was a college kid. He is so committed to uptime at Squarespace. You know, we talk all the time about Squarespace, how it's hosting plus a great software content management system and how Squarespace sites never go down. Well, he takes that really seriously. When Sandy hit New York City, of course, many sites went down. All of Gawker went down. Tons of sites went down. But not Squarespace sites. We found out why, because Anthony went over to Pier 1, their network operations center, and the Pier 1 guys also, with a real commitment to uptime, they were there. They were sleeping on cots. They, at one point, to keep the generator running, they had a bucket brigade bringing fuel up the stairs, hand-carrying it, so that they could keep power to the servers and keep the Squarespace sites up and running. The next morning, they did, in fact, do a full reboot, so Squarespace was down briefly in the morning. But it didn't go down during Hurricane Sandy, and I think that's just a testament to how much these guys care about giving you superlative service. If you're looking for a web hosting company that is reliable, robust, doesn't go down, and has tied into it the best content management software ever, that is Squarespace 5. You've got to visit squarespace.com. You can use it for free for 2 weeks, 14 days. You got the run of the place. You even can use their importers to import your existing content from Typepad, Movable Type, Blogger. It imports and exports, so you're never trapped in a Squarespace site. It also allows you to use those great, they call them responsive designs. They adapt to the size of the screen. You don't have a separate mobile and a desktop site. The site is the same for every device. It automatically, you don't have to do anything. It automatically adjusts itself. As an example, when you upload a photo to a Squarespace site as a post, for instance, it automatically makes 7 different sizes of that photo, and it serves the one that's appropriate, whether it's an iPhone or a 27-inch iMac or a Hackintosh. Your site always looks great. I want you to try it for 2 weeks. If you decide to buy, we've got a special deal for you. KnowHow 11 will take 10% off your first purchase. That's why I want you to do the full year. Now, there's two plans. There's the basic and there's the unlimited plan. don't even, unless you're just like, this is a quick site that you're not going to use a lot, go for the unlimited plan. $16 a month when you buy a year worth. When you buy a year, by the way, you also get a free domain name registration. They'll hook it all up so you go to, you know, Frobisher'sHackintosh.com and then it'll go right to your Squarespace site, and that's kind of nice. But also, you get 10% off that first purchase, so you're going to get a really big savings. Unlimited means unlimited. Unlimited bandwidth, unlimited pages, editors, contributors, unlimited file size. I mean, it's just incredible. File storage, I should say. You do have a file size limit. But you can find out all about it at squarespace.com. Try it free. If you decide to buy, take a look at the plans, then apply our special code, KnowHow11, to get 10% off your first purchase. And kudos, a real thumbs up to that great story. It was in Huffington Post. It was all over the place. You can read about it. Anthony Castellana, the Pier 1 folks, they really are committed to keeping 100% uptime.
What I love about Squarespace, the thing is, like, let's say you, like, last week we did a thing about putting an antenna up, over the air antenna, right?
Yeah.
We went to TVFool.com and we basically.
We brought them down.
We crushed the site because.
I think they were crushed for a week.
They were hurt because people went, everybody from Twit, you guys are great, you guys are paying attention, you went over and it brought the site down. If you guys are putting together tools or you're coming up with your own tutorials, Squarespace.com is fantastic because it's never going to go down.
Yep.
Just use our offer code if you like the show. Use KnowHow 11, you get a nice discount.
That's a good deal.
Because your site never goes down. And you can worry about playing with toys, not web design.
TV Fool, move to Squarespace.
It'd be helpful for us. Anyway.
We mentioned again on Twit, you know, we talked about the thing and we brought it down again.
Brought it down again, TV Fool? Oh, boy. It's a great site.
I'm starting to feel really bad for TV Fool.
They're fantastic. But
speaking of bringing it down, let's get that Hackintosh running.
Okay, so
what
we're going to
do say?
I put the USB key into this machine. We're going to hit on, of course, it's not going
to
work.
So you processed it a little bit to make it it was a bootable USB key, but did you have to do anything to the OS X to make it Hackintoshable?
No.
No, it's just vanilla USB. OS X.
UniBoot took care of everything. UniBeast took care of everything for me. It's all very automatic. You don't need to know anything about coding. You don't need to change anything. You just hit install. Again, wait 30 minutes. So we turn on this PC. Let's see if we can see this, because I know
So this is the PC booting Mountain Lion.
What we're going to do is we're going to boot. We have to still
install.
Oh,
there install. It is. There's a store and go verbatim. Okay.
So there. That's the key that we made. Okay. I'm going to hit enter. What you're going
notice
to see.
Notice this PC is a UEFI boot. It's PC, so.
Exactly. As a UEFI, that's going to make
a difference.
That's
handy, doesn't it? It makes it easier.
What you're going to do, this one, obviously we've installed Mountain Lion already, but you're going to select USB when you're first doing this. If this shows up, you're just going to hit enter on your keyboard. You're going to wait a little bit.
Now, that was a Tony thing we just saw.
Right. That's thanks to, I believe that's the Chimera bootloader that's built into all the tools in UniBeast. So there's all this stuff's built in. Like I said before, you run UniBeast and then you just kind of walk away. Then your key's ready.
We're going to boot to our key. Mm-hmm.
And this is going to, you're going to either hit F12 or F8 depending on your motherboard. You'll know what motherboard you have since you bought it. Either it's going to be a Gigabyte or a ASUS or whatever you want to use. Just pay attention to that boot screen. Hit F12 or whatever the number is, and you'll be able to boot from that USB key because normally it tries to go to hard drive, and you might not have an operating system there just yet.
Can you do a multi-boot? Can I have Windows on here and still make it a Hackintosh Plus Windows?
Like I believe you can do that. Okay. I did not do it for this particular one.
This is going to be all Mac.
This one's going to be all Mac now because that's what I could do with it.
Yes.
So you can see right now it's starting up on the install screen. This is what it looks like. We're going to use English as a language because I happen to be fluent in English.
Could you use... by the way, this is now Apple software running. Could you use a DVD or some other boot device to do this? It doesn't have to be a USB key.
There is a method to use even the Snow Leopard DVD or the last ones that Apple created.
Right.
Because I believe they no longer offer...
They don't do it, yeah.
Those, I don't know if you can make...
Lion, I think that you could buy a DVD towards the end.
I don't know if you can make a DVD. I just used a USB key because it was fastest. It's 8 gigabytes. And besides, the install goes much faster on a key.
Yeah, and all modern PCs will boot from a USB key. That's not a problem.
So what we got to do, though, is we got to prepare the hard drive that's in this machine to handle OS X. Because OS X is very particular. So in the installer, there's actually a utility. We're going to go to disk utility.
You'd have to do this, by the way, on a Mac as well if it were a blank drive. This is just formatting the drive.
Right.
So, something you do all the time.
So we have a 2 terabyte drive in there. We're going to click that. And then what are we going to do? We're going to read instructions very carefully because this is very important.
You're using the Apple Disk Utility to do this, of course, because you're going to format it HFS Plus. You're going to make it an Apple computer.
Right. So we're going to partition this. We're going to say one partition.
Basically one partition. All
we're
right.
going to name it. In the instructions, you can name it pretty much anything. We're just going to call it Mountain Lion. And then, let's see what we're going to do there. We're going to format as Mac OS X extended journaled. And normally you would
case hit insensitive again. Does that matter?
That's well, yeah, we're going to keep it case insensitive. So okay. I'm just going to say journaled. And normally you hit apply right now. But since this machine's already prepped, I'm not about to do
that. But that's simple and fast. It formats it. And it actually doesn't take very long at all.
This takes about 5 minutes. And this is a 2 terabyte drive.
Considering the size of the drive, that's amazing.
So we're going to close this. And then the installer will show up. So you can hit continue and you can hit install just like you were installing everything else. It's the same thing you're used to if you've ever installed an operating
system.
Just
walk through an OS X install. That's easy.
You're going to continue. It's going to say agree. You're agreeing to terms that you probably already disregarded. You're going to hit Mountain Lion. You're going to hit install. But we're not going to do that because this machine already has OS X on it.
So you've been through all this before.
Right.
So we're step four, install OS X, just as you would on a Macintosh or a regular PC. Obviously, there's some more stuff we're going to have to do after the fact. It's not going to just run out of the box.
Right. So we're going to have to restart this machine. We're going to open up our Mountain Lion install, which is here. So we're going to wait for this thing to show up again. Hit F12.
I guess all modern PCs are UEFI boot. You don't have to. Could you do this on a BIOS based
machine?
You
can do it on older machines. Again, Tony Mac x86 has the most comprehensive things I've seen about that. So you have the ability to use an older machine. But since this is Chad's machine, he bought the latest and greatest things, so they are very compatible. It's a lot easier with UEFI.
Right.
So over here, we're going to go to Mountain Lion, as we showed you before, and it's going to boot Mountain Lion on this machine. So
that UniBoot is basically a little bootloader. Boot chooser.
Well, yeah,
device chooser.
It works with the USB.
Once you take the USB out, it won't be there anymore.
Exactly.
Okay.
It will not boot to the hard drive until you install some extra software.
That's why we need to do this. Right. I get it.
So once we get to this, let's see.
So you'll be continuing to boot to that USB key.
For now.
For the final stages of
it. If for some reason you're completely fine with constantly picking, you boot off your USB and then pick Mountain Lion, you're done. You can just do that and maybe you can install some drivers still.
Okay.
But if you want to worry about bootloaders and things, you can, because I like to. So we have set this one up already, and we've got our nice name here. This is Eddie Q's computer. If you guys don't know,
of course,
he's an Apple executive.
The guy in charge of iOS, yeah.
All right, so right now, this is loading because...
Yeah, it loaded the Apple webpage. That's what that's what Safari does when you first boot up. All right.
Okay, so what we're going to do...
You're running OS X.
Okay, so out of the box, when you install everything, you're going to have networking that'll be working. You won't have audio likely. At least this machine didn't have that. Wi-Fi didn't work. There's a ton of things that didn't work.
Depending on what hardware you purchased, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go to MultiBeast. Now, MultiBeast.
MultiBeast. Oh, boy. This is for the driver fix.
Yeah, MultiBeast. You use this for your drivers and your bootloader. Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to download MultiBeast. There'll be a link in the show notes how to get it. Again, it's from TonyMacX86.com. You have to register. Software's free. Works really well. So we'll go back to this machine. We'll run MultiBeast.
Tony did not write a lot of this, or maybe not even any of this software. What Tony did is collate all this stuff. And I'm told that he's a little bit of a controversial figure for that reason. But I think he makes it easier because it's all in one place. It's one-stop shopping.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of different... There's going to be different attitudes there. This is about getting it done. I liked this site. So I'm going to go to Welcome to MultiBeast Installer. Continue. Agree. You know, it's funny. Even in the tutorials on their site, it actually says hit continue, agree. because I don't know who's reading this.
All right.
Okay. So in this case, now if we can get our screen back up here, you can see you have lots of different options. It looks like a regular OS X kind of deal. We're going to hit... Let's see. For this particular machine, we have to figure out what exactly is on our machine. What drivers do we need? You can't just click every one of these. If you do that, if you click all of these, one, your installation is going to fail. Okay, you're not going to get drivers because you're going to have drivers for everything, and they might not be compatible with each other. It can mess up your system. And trust me, I tried that once, and it's not fun.
It seems like that would be the easy way to do it. It's not. You actually have to tell
it
what drivers you want.
Okay. So in our case, what we have to do is I did a quick Google search.
Easy Beast is the bootloader. What is Easy Beast?
Easy Beast is a way to get a solution for Core 2 or Core I system with no native CPU management. For particular machines.
So this machine we don't need it because it's an i7.
No.
All right.
So what I needed to do, I did a quick Google search and I found a website. You could also do this on the forum. It's called Hacks by Alpha. And if you scroll down a whole lot, Brian, you'll see this multi-beast install. This is what I just basically copied because I didn't feel like looking up Chad's motherboard and seeing what exact drivers I needed. So if we go back...
Well, you lazy son of a gun.
Hey! It took me hours to do this. You guys are learning this in under 30 minutes. So
how does this help?
This will tell you exactly which check boxes to check. Really simple.
Oh, but how does it know? Because you gave it the parts that Chad had?
I did a quick Google search for Gigabyte, and I told the actual motherboard name.
So you did need to know the part names and stuff.
The part names. Yeah. We'll have the part names up.
That's easier, frankly, if you've built your own machine. If you're trying to do this to a Dell, it may not be easy to find the drivers that you need.
Right, so you'd select those bunch of things that you saw on the website, which I've done here. Going to hit install, and then it's all done, which means, by the way...
How many drivers did you need to install?
I'd install probably...
Wi-Fi.
There's audio. There was
audio,
networking. There's
networking,
the bootloader.
Bootloader.
So that way you can boot from the hard drive.
Right.
Probably 10 or so. It's probably 10 checkboxes. Probably a lot more than
and
that.
And it won't support all kinds of hardware, but is there pretty good support, let's say, for all the NVIDIA graphics cards?
No.
No.
Wait a minute. What am I going to do there? You almost trapped me there. Apple only supports a certain number of graphics cards. And I believe Chad had bought a more powerful graphics card
than Apple sells.
Right.
So that's almost guaranteed, by the way, that you're going to do that because Apple doesn't have the highest end graphics cards.
But strangely, it can support really high-powered processors. So if you have a processor that's not an Apple machine yet, that's going to run fine. Those graphics cards can get really wonky, so you've got to double check your parts list, and get it that way.
So it's, again, easier to build a Hackintosh if you're building from scratch and you look ahead of time to see what would be the most compatible parts.
Absolutely. And even if you were even if you had a Mac, I know I've done this with my Mac Pro. When I had to get a graphics card, I have three options.
Oh, yeah.
Because Apple does not care to support everything.
That's
you will buy ours and you would like it.
Right.
You still kind of have that restriction because that's what you're doing.
Now, I noticed that you have now booted this PC into OS X Mountain Lion. That's the desktop we're seeing here. And you didn't do a KVM switch to a Mac Mini under the desk.
There's no scam here. Don't pay no attention to that MacBook over there.
There's a laptop down
there. But what
there,
I can
that's
do...
That's not the one that's running. Okay.
Now, I'm going to restart this. I'm not going to boot from the USB.
Did MultiBeast then install all the drivers? That's what MultiBeast did?
Yes.
And you got the information about the drivers at Hacks by Alpha, which
correct,
ones to use. So that's what you've run. And now you can, in theory, pop the USB key and boot to the hard drive. Is that right?
That's correct. So
this is where you're crossing your fingers.
Right.
So
right now, we're letting in... It's restarting right now. I think it's restarting. We've got this little...
It takes a little while to restart.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not going to be as fast as what you're used to, I would imagine.
I don't know. Macs take a while to shut down as well as to start up.
This is true. So right now, not hitting F12, not going to USB.
There you go.
This is
on the hard drive. That's the UniBeast on the hard drive.
Yes.
And there's your Apple logo.
Right. So
aspect ratio is a little weird.
So if you can go to the wide shot.
That's because the driver isn't using full screen.
That's simply in the boot screen. When you actually go back
it'll
to the operating system, it should go to the 16:9 aspect ratio on this. And it's going to show up. This is always my little test. I move the mouse to make sure it's still running. So there's our EDIQ. And what's my password? The most secure password in all the world.
So at this point, you're not getting any support from the USB key. This is using drivers that are on the system. Will it log into the Wi-Fi here in the studio?
On Wi-Fi, I'm not sure if I've set that up yet. But I also don't know if this has Wi-Fi on it, on this card. But we could mess with that a little bit right now. Network.
Wow.
It doesn't have Wi-Fi on this machine.
So it didn't matter.
Yeah, so we use Ethernet. Again, Ethernet works out of the box. But by the way, I ran into some issues about this. Trying to get this device to boot from the hard drive led to something called the boot zero error. I got very familiar with this because as a noob to the new model, because I used to know the old model, as a noob to this, I had to do a search for noob multi-beast because the thing I had to do was constantly reinstall the operating system to make things work. It was a real mess.
What was the final solution?
The final solution, it was available. I found it at MacBreaker.com. It turned out that the bootloader for this particular machine didn't seem to be correct. The bootloader had an issue. So what I had to do was I had to download the bootloader separately and then do a terminal command thing. All these instructions will be up, I promise.
Now, but that's an unusual situation that's unique to this hardware.
Right. It seemed to be that was the particular case because this was not a normal issue.
Okay.
It seemed like the Gigabyte motherboards, this particular one, seemed to have this issue a lot. So I made sure I did that. We'll have the links for those, that big workaround. It's not that difficult. Don't be afraid. You'll be in terminal. Okay? But if you're doing any of this, clearly,
you need to
you're
be
not
able
afraid.
To do that.
But
were there any drivers or any hardware parts that didn't work?
As far as I know, everything is running just fine.
Everything's working.
Right
Audio,
now.
Audio, networking.
I haven't messed with Thunderbolt yet because I don't have any Thunderbolt devices.
I have one in the other room. I'm running.
We can horrify ourselves later about that, see if it works or
but
not.
But you don't have a Thunderbolt port on here, probably.
This motherboard does have a
it
Thunderbolt.
It does. Wow.
That's why
that's
Chad
cool.
picked it.
That's
so
cool.
It does work, by the way. It took me at least 3.5 hours to troubleshoot some of this stuff. So if you're watching the video, you're like, why? Why would I watch this? It's like, well, here's why. Because it just saved you about 3 hours. Because some of this information was all over the place. So do yourself a favor and save yourself some time there.
Eric Duckman says, and I'm kind of agreeing, the more I watch, the less I want to do this. And in some ways, that's what this episode is a cautionary tale.
Oh, yeah.
It is not that easy to do. It's something you do if you like a challenge. If you can't afford a Mac and you really want to have a Macintosh computer on a PC, then maybe it's worth the effort. But I have to, again, point out that at any point, Apple could push an update that would just break it.
It could, yeah, it could
You'd
break
be out
the machine.
Of luck. They have no responsibility to keep this machine running.
That's exactly right. They only are responsible for their own machines.
Right.
And I wanted to know what you guys were thinking, because why would you
why
do this?
Why would you do this? That's a lot of work. Why,
what would you do with the Hackintosh? So we checked up our guys on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, I'll put up a question from time to time. And today's question was, what would you do with the Hackintosh? And we had some replies. If you put the hashtag TwitKH, I'll be able to see this a lot easier. So if you're looking at the questions, you have answers, let me know with slash.
I like Greg, because Greg is a guy who wanted to build a computer. You can't build your own Mac. The only way you can build your own Mac is a Hackintosh. So that's a good reason.
You can't build a Mac otherwise. The other thing is we showed you how to build this exact PC and like a couple episodes ago. So you can learn how to build this machine
right.
and then install OS X on it.
And now we know OS X works fine on it. If
OS
you have
X
the right
works
software.
Pretty good on it. It's pretty fast and very fast. We asked some more. There was at least one more. Who else do we have on our browser here? As a musician, this is from Hunter. As a musician, I've never found something as good as GarageBand to record instruments and vocals with a mic. I miss my MacBook. That's another thing. Apple's got some software. Don't forget that. When it comes to iLife and iWork, you can't run that on a Windows machine. Some other guys were talking about, oh, I want to be up to date in all the operating systems. Why not do it?
Will AMD work, or do you have to use a Core i7 or an
i5? I believe that some AMDs will work. I know the older ones did. I don't know what this particular method, if it'll work.
You're potentially opening yourself up to a ball of hurt, so it may be better just to use a standard Intel chip. As much as you can, use hardware that you know is going to work with OS X.
It's definitely a lot of work. It's a great project if you want to do it. You might be breaking the law. So, not my.
Do you have any legal advice for people who do this?
Yeah, I think normally it'd be, normally we say, now you know how, go do it.
Yeah.
So, now that you know how, you're going to get arrested.
No, you're not going to. The Apple police will not come to your house. Now, as always with this, IaaS is not able to provide full support if you want to do this. But people can write to you or contact you, yeah?
That's right. We've gotten so many emails from you guys with lots of different requests, including the Hackintosh.
That's what we'd like to hear. What would you like us to do? Yeah.
We love your ideas. And if you have better methods, I love – this is going to sound crazy. I love being corrected. If you got some better way to do this – I'd love to know and tell everybody about it, because this is a lot of work, and this is a lot of fun for me. I really love being like the guinea pig in this, when I'm home and I'm working on this. But if I get suggestions and tips and show ideas, you guys do a great job. Hit us up at knowhow@twit.tv, and you can leave us a voicemail if you want to, 408-800-KNOW. And
we'd love to play some voicemails back on the show. So give us some nice short voicemails so we can play them back.
Yeah, and by the way, if you guys are doing your own tutorials and things and you're putting them on YouTube, like, let us know. Send us links. I love finding out better methods to do things, because this is great stuff. I
really
enjoy it.
Now, here's the question. Chad, are you going to leave OS X on your hot new computer, or are you going to reboot right to Windows?
He's
He's in a meeting.
He ran away. That's a smart man.
If I know people, I'm going to guess he's going to format this thing and put Windows right back on.
Well, I think he's going to do a
nice job, though. Well done.
It's done. It works. It runs.
It's a Hackintosh, baby. Well done. You have all the details here. We'll run through it real quickly. Of course, the first thing you're going to do is get a friend or get a Mac and download Mountain Lion from the Apple Store. You then have to, of course, convert it to a bootable USB drive. Yes, it'll work with DVD, but it's a lot easier with USB. So prep the key. Tony's got all the tools you need at TonyMacX86.com, including Uniboot, which you'll be using to boot the PC, and then you'll install OS 10. Now, you don't have all the drivers on it yet, so you need to continue to use that USB key and Uniboot to reboot and install drivers and a bootloader using MultiBeast. Once you've done that, if you've got all the drivers and you've got OS 10 working, you should be able to reboot. I has used Hacks by Alpha to help him put together a list of the drivers he needed. Once it's done, hold your breath, take out the USB key, reboot, and if all goes well, look at that. You got a Mac. This is a true blue Macintosh OS 10. There's no modifications. It should be able to run updates.
All kinds of iCloud. You can
go to Apple's update. Let's see what happens there.
Sure. Software updates.
Yeah. Let's just screw around with this right away.
I went to this full screen app.
That's interesting. I wonder why it did that.
The new photo booth does that.
It just kind of takes over.
We'll take over for you.
Yeah.
We go to the App Store, but do we want to download some applications? We can once it actually
That's pretty
updates.
Cool. So that's a real-life Hackintosh. Well, Frobish Madagascar, I don't know what happened to Iaz, but I'm glad you were here for this week's episode.
Well, yeah. Well, by the way, next week I hear that Iaz fellow's coming back, and we're going to show you how to make the web work for you using IFT. If then, then that, or whatever
if
it stands
this,
for.
Then that, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If this, then that.
Great site.
It's a great site. I think we're gonna get some custom recipes. We're gonna do some fun things.
Good.
You'll be able to do all kinds of things next week.
Good. I'm Cletus Lespork. I won't be here next week. I mean, Leon Lespork. I won't be here.
Your friends call you Cletus, right?
Cletus. It's been just a nickname. My mom called me when I was born. But I'll be gone for a few weeks. But have fun. Frobish.
Thank you. Well, Frobish is going away. Iaz is coming back.
Well, wish your friend Iaz the best.
Thank you. Good
luck here. And, well, now that you know how to Hackintosh.
Tread carefully.
We can't recommend that you do this.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
Excuse me, sir. I'm with the mustache police. I'm going to have to take this.
Bye-bye.